God put on my heart about this ministry, it was a solid year before I was really on board at all. I just was like, oh, I can't do that. No. I'm going to say no. A whole year. Every time I went into that quiet place with the Lord, He kept knocking on my heart. Like, you know, I've asked you to do something and you're not doing it. And I want you to do it. So, you know, it is a sin to be disobedient and to be not listening. And so anytime we are actively sinning, it does come between us. But a loving God was patient with me until I could sort of wrap my brain around exactly what I thought.
Welcome to Study with Friends. If you miss any part of this program, or if you want to hear it again, please visit our website, studywithfriends.org, and search Jonah in the search box. You can listen there online, or search us on iTunes or TuneIn Radio. That's studywithfriends.org. While you're there on our website, click on your favorite social media channel in the upper right corner to follow us for daily inspiration from God's Word. We're active on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. This week, we start a whole new series on the book of Jonah. Seeing the message of the book is patience. Let's start in prayer.
Let's open in prayer, and then I'll let you guys introduce yourselves, and then we'll be off to the races. Lord, thank you for your presence with us this morning. I just thank you so much that you are always with us, always want to help us know you more, and that you love what we're doing this morning, that you love meeting with us in your word. So we would just ask that you would be active and present with us and in us as we unpack a book that some of us are familiar with, some of us are not so much. And God, show us the things that you have for us. Not just to teach us about you, but to teach us about yourself, about ourselves through this book, and help us to go from this place a little bit wiser and a little bit closer to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, introduce yourselves, please.
Okay, I'm Cindy. I am a wife and mother of three teenage young adult children. I attend a Methodist church.
How long have you been married?
23 years.
I think that's important. That's good to hear, too.
My husband and I walked into a jeweler's last night and said, you know, we were looking for a ring. And she said, an engagement ring. And I just started to laugh.
Aw.
That's great.
Well, that's what you expect when a couple comes in, right?
Yeah.
Because that's a once and done.
Mm-hmm.
When else are you in there getting a ring?
Yeah, true.
What were you getting?
I was picking out a birthday present.
Nice. When's your birthday?
Not till November. We were just looking. We didn't buy anything.
Oh my gosh, that's so fun.
I thought you were prepping for your 25th.
Something. Yeah, because now you got me curious. I know you're not getting an engagement ring. That's so nice. Way to go, Brian. Way to go. Saying,
thanks,
pick out
honey.
Something pretty, baby.
That's a good date night.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I'm Leanne. I am also a mother of three teenagers. Also have been married for 23 years, and we attend a Presbyterian church.
I'm Holly. Everybody knows me. Also knows I attend a Presbyterian church, and I feel like the baby here because I've only been married for 21 years, and I only have two kids. I'm such an underachiever. Okay. Before we even frame the book of Jonah, I want to frame what we're doing because it's a little different, just a little different. And the truth is you can approach it the same. We're loosey-goosey. Be in God's word. That's all we care about. In some of our other series, we have like more exhaustive homework. And then we all do our homework and we come to the recording and we do a lot of work on deep diving into the scripture. And that's really good. I love to do that. But what we're going to do is really give everybody a sense of what this book's theme is, what the book is really all about, talk about some of the major themes that are occurring in the book, and then encourage you to go in and dig more yourself with that anchor as your hold. A lot of people don't read an entire book of the Bible. We're picking shorter ones, 4 or 5 chapter books. And when they do, I think a lot of people don't recognize that most books of the Bible have a particular theme, Old Testament and New Testament. For example, the theme of Galatians is freedom in Christ. That's the undercurrent that rides through the entire book. When you know that, it actually helps you frame the entire reading, and you can kind of, you know what I mean by an anchor? Like if you're, there's something you're not exactly sure about, you can refer back to that theme and put it in that context. It's really helpful. So that's what we're doing with a few books. The Bible nerd word for that is exegesis. So you can go tell your pastor you're doing that and be all cool. And he'll be like, now you're in the cool group. What we most of the time do is exegesis. We really do spend most of our time understanding God's word and not really working topically, but we're really being very intentional about it in these books. But what I really want is, as people listen to this broadcast and then they go and do that work, we want to really be active on the comment pages on this Bible study. So like, when we are done, those of us sitting around the table and we have additional thoughts, we will put them up there. And if you're in the community, just put your thoughts up there. Tell us what you're learning out of this book. Like, it's going to be more of a community study on phase two after we do our recording and frame it. So the best way to do that is go on any page of our website, studywithfriends.org. At the bottom of every page is a search box, and just search Jonah and you'll find this, all this magical material that we're putting in there for you today. And then put some comments in and let us see what you're learning. Let us learn from you too. So we'll see what happens with that. Today we're talking about Jonah. The theme of this book is patience. So I'm going to say again, Jonah is about God's patience with both his prophet. And if you know anything about the story, you know he had a little hiccup there in chapter one, Jonah dead, and with his faithless people. So I'll say more about that later. So we're going to just read a few snippets. We're going to start with Jonah 1 through 3. Cindy, do you have that?
I do. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord.
Okay, so we have two fill-in-the-blanks on our homework. First one is describe what happened there, and then is a parallel between what he's doing and anything in your life. So you can mash those together if you want. So would you just give me a quick summary, either one of you, about what you think is happening there? Not what we just read. We know he went to Tarshish through Joppa. That's not what I mean. What's he doing? What's happening?
Well, he's ignoring God. God told him to do something and he ran away.
Yeah. Do you have any real life examples that, I know that's hard. We want everyone to think we always listen to God, but I have a really good one if you want me to go first. Okay. So when God put on my heart about this ministry, it was a solid year before I was really on board at all. I really ran away. And I didn't run. Here's an interesting thing. I didn't leave my faith. I was still attending church every Sunday. I was still attending a midweek Bible study. I was still in fellowship. Like, I was still having my faith and exercising my faith in all the ways that I knew to do. And I was learning and growing and having intimacy with God. It wasn't like I broke the whole relationship off. I was like, I'm not doing that and I'm not talking to you. That wasn't it at all. I just was like, oh, I can't do that. No, I'm going to say no. It was a whole year. And I knew I was having a year of disobedience. Now, let me say this on the other side of that coin. It definitely did mess with my intimacy, because every time I went into that quiet place with the Lord, he kept knocking on my heart. Like, you know, I've asked you to do something and you're not doing it, and I want you to do it. So that's kind of between us, you know, mm-hmm. Kind of like sin. You know, it is a sin to be disobedient and to be not listening. And so anytime we are actively sinning, it does come between us. But a loving God was patient with me until I could sort of wrap my brain around exactly what I thought. The sad and crazy part is it wasn't even a radio ministry at that time. I had a whole nother mental meltdown when he put the radio idea, which is not at all what I had envisioned it to be. That was just doing a website and recording Bible studies for the women who I had taught over the years and who were like, hey, are you teaching anything? And I wasn't. Or if I was teaching something, they were like, oh, I can't get to that one. The idea was, you know, she had a baby, she went back to work, she's taking care of an aging parent or whatever, and you can't get to the Bible study. And I thought, okay, it would be kind of cool if we could do something and then you could feel like you were there, but if you can't get there, you still can get something. And but even that was too much. I was like, I'm not doing that. Because I don't know, I didn't want it, whatever. That's my example. And I really still feel the mercy of his patience mm-hmm. when I look back on that, because he just was gentle with me. He wasn't like, nothing terrible happened. I wasn't disciplined for my disobedience, aside from this lack of intimacy, which to me is painful. Yeah, so that was a really perfect example for me of, I get you, Jonah. I feel you, bro.
Right.
Yes.
Do you guys want to share anything, or is it just me that's a disobedient, bad Christian?
I was thinking about a time when I told God I didn't want to take on the leadership position that he was asking me to. I felt very clearly that he was asking me to do it, and I just said, I don't want to. But I did keep talking to him about it. I kind of felt like you did, Holly, where in my quiet time, it kept coming up. And God really worked on me and changed my heart. I sort of went from, I'm not doing this, to, fine, I'll do this, but you know I don't want to. Mm-hmm. And eventually he really did change my heart, and I was able to tackle the task with passion
yeah.
that he gave me for it.
I don't think that I did that, to be completely honest with you. I mean, I must have at some point.
I don't think there's any one right way. I think the most important thing is that we stay in conversation with God.
Yeah. For me, actually, what happened, the turning point was, I felt very, very convicted after I heard a sermon, because I hadn't shared this with anybody, because I was like, well, if I say it out loud,
that makes
then
it
I'm going to have to do it.
Right.
Yeah. And finally, I shared it with Greg, who's my husband. He really helped me. And then you were one, actually, Leanne, you were one of the first people I told too. And both were like, oh yeah, you totally should do that. That's totally right.
When I answered this, when I was thinking about this question, I struggled with answering it, because I think when I know that God's asking me to do something specifically, I'm trying to remember a time when I didn't do that. It's more when I'm not sure that mm-hmm. it was God, or it's my own motivation, that I'm like, do I want this so badly mm-hmm. that I'm saying it's from God? And I, for me, it's really important in the process to check with other people, to pray about it, of course, but also to check with mm-hmm. other, you know, other Christians in my life who help me mm-hmm. tease that out. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, accountability mm-hmm. too, because once you've said it to them, they're going to follow up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
As it happens, Leanne was my accountability partner for the first year of developing the ministry. So she'd be like, did you do the tasks we talked about last time? And I'd be like, darn it. Jonah needed accountability partner.
Yeah,
I just had that realization. He really did, because he was all over the place. Mm-hmm. He needed somebody. He needed to be able to lean more on the Lord, because yes. the God is our ultimate accountability partner. He's the best.
True that.
That's good. And we'll talk about more about tools to make sure that we're walking the right way. And let's move on to chapter two. This is strange. We're just really kind of doing a quick high level overview, and that's okay, because you're going to go read it and digest it, and you're going to love it. Okay, so let's go with Jonah 2, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Leanne, do you have that?
I do. Jonah 2, verse 1 through 2. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry.
Okay, so we didn't read the rest of chapter one, but bring us up to speed. What happened?
Jonah went on a fishing boat, and then there was a horrible storm, and the other sailors wound up throwing Jonah overboard. Once they did that, the storm settled, and Jonah was swallowed by a large fish.
Okay, so this is from inside the fish.
Yes.
And this is, you know what? Some people have a hard time with the literal nature of this. I'm not getting into that. I don't think there's anything that can't happen in God's plan. So So I'm not really going to get into that, because whether you believe it's literal or figurative, it's still the same concept. Jonah ran away and was put into some sort of distress. I really do believe he was in the fish, but what he's doing, you tell me what he's doing in chapter two in these few verses. What's happening here?
He's praying and calling out to God.
So what do you think is the difference between what you read, chapter 2, 1 and 2, and what Cindy read, chapter 1, 1 through 3? What's the difference between him here and him there?
He's relying on God mm-hmm. now.
Yeah, it's kind of hard not to when you're swallowed by a fish. Yeah. You don't have a lot of options.
When you've bottomed out.
Not yeah. a lot of self options at that point, which is great. You can choose the parallel that you used earlier, or you can choose a new one. But is there anything from real life? We talked a little bit about it, that you can relate to where he is now.
Well, when I thought about this, I was focused on the second part of verse 2, where he says, "You to God, you listened to my cry." That mm. really stuck mm. out to me. And from the whole sentence is, "From the depths of the grave, I called out for help and you listened to my cry." And I have definitely had moments in my life when I felt like I was figuratively in the depths of the grave. Mm-hmm. And God responded to my cry for help. My goal is that I don't wait until I am in the depths of the grave to cry out to God for help, or in any way to communicate and continue a relationship with him, because he does always listen to us.
This is why I love Bible study. But the first part of that is what spoke to me. In my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. Mm-hmm. You know, he answers me when I call out, and I have, why I don't remember that all the time, I don't know, but that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." That's a verse that I love for exactly the same reason, because he's promising.
Answers.
He will answer. Mm-hmm. It's not just listening, although listening matters.
It does.
He will answer you. Mm-hmm. I think that there's relatability in this particular moment broader than the disobedience of a believer that we were talking about in chapter one, where we were all like, yeah, look, even though we've been walking with the Lord for a long time, we've had seasons of disobedience, or just kind of like, I don't want to do that, or I don't want to go there, or that's not for me, or whatever. And I think what we have here in chapter two is such a broad experience. Like, I think even non-believers, when they're really in distress, will call out to the Lord. That's a really, I think, a universal thing. When you recognize that you're at the end of yourself is when you most likely seek the thing that is beyond you, whether you stick with that or not, believer, non-believer. But I think it's worth talking about that, because we start the book with a believer. We move to chapter two, where Jonah is having an experience that's universal to a believer and a non-believer. And now we're going to move into chapter three, where Jonah is coping with the non-believer. And I just thought it was worth mentioning, because, I mean, really, don't you know people who are like, I mean, I hate to use 9/11 because that's a it was such a terrible time in our history. But for those of us who know the Lord, it was such a moment in time, because it felt like, okay, everybody gets it. For 1 second, everybody gets it. Mm-hmm. And that was a comforting thing to me, that to know that a nation that is so disobedient in so many other ways, when it really hit the fan, they knew where to go. So this is what I'm saying. It's a universal thing that when we are in deep distress, whether you're a believer or a non-believer, you do end up looking for that thing that is bigger than you.
I agree. And I think that as Christians, we can use that opportunity, or we often are given the opportunity to pray for or even with that person. Mm-hmm. And those that opportunity is created because of what you just described. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we're given that privilege to be able to pray for or with the person, or help show them how God can walk them through that difficult time.
Yeah. Which is a reminder that at any given time to wear your faith on your sleeve, because you never know if the person right next to you is at this moment in the depths of the grave. Mm-hmm. And be there, be available, be present. The other thing, and just coming back to in the life of a believer, is an expression I've said before on this broadcast, and I'm going to say it again because it's so good. It's not mine. It belongs to another pastor. and I don't know if it's his, so I'm just going to say it's not mine. He says, make a well-worn path into the presence of the Lord so that in a time of darkness, you can find your way. Love that visual. To me, it reminds me of, I was in my house was the first built in a new development. And so for probably the first 8 years or 5 years of us living there, there was always a house under construction. And what we did was we would take our, because it was, you know, one of those great situations where it's new construction. So it's like all families of the same age coming in. So every time someone moved in, there were like kids my age. We became this tribe, right, of like kids running around. In the undeveloped section, we made what we called the trails. So we would, we must have done it walking at first, but eventually we would ride our bikes through like the weeds and the trees and the bushes because we had made a path. We just made it over time. I don't think any of us noticed the process of first it was pressed down grass and then the grass died and then it was just dirt. As a kid, it felt like 500 miles of trails and you could kind of get lost because you're riding your bike and you don't know. And that's what it reminds me of. Because if I had been in the darkness, which of course my mother would never let me go on my bike in the darkness, but you know, in theory, I would have known the way because the path was worn. And even if I wouldn't have been able to see, I would have been able to find my way. And that's what that makes me think of, this idea of like repeating a behavior that takes you from point A to point B so that when it's dark, you can still get from point A to point B. And when we talk about darkness, we're talking about emotional darkness, spiritual darkness, cultural darkness. For me, this particular couple verses reminds me of that admonition from that pastor, make a well-worn path into the presence of the Lord so that in a time of darkness, you can find your way. Because if you don't have a habit of being intimate with him, like you were saying earlier, you know, I'm trying not to let it get to the depths. I'm trying to be vigilant. I'm trying to be intentional. That's what we're talking about. Okay, let's jump over to chapter 3. Who has chapter 3, 1 through 6?
I do. I'm going to read the first 6 verses of chapter 3 here. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust.
There's so much there. You start.
Well, we were asked in our homework to describe what's happening, and God tells Jonah again to go to Nineveh and proclaim his message. And as I was reading these verses, I sort of wanted to insert this time Jonah obeyed when God asked him to go to Nineveh and proclaim the message that God gave him. And then after that, the people of Nineveh, it certainly sounds like upon reading it immediately, repented, including their king. I think that was probably sort of what we find out later, that that was much to Jonah's chagrin, that they were responsive to God's word and were repentant.
What did you write, Leanne?
I just wrote that, you know, that he listened, that God gave him a second chance and that he listened. And because of his obedience, a whole group of people were saved.
Study with Friends is here to help you read and understand God's word at every stage of your spiritual growth. We are listener supported, so we do rely on your prayers and financial support. This month, you may be starting to think about year-end giving. Would you prayerfully consider Study with Friends? You can donate easily online at studywithfriends.org/donate. Just like you, we are thinking about the upcoming year and considering the radio station plan. So if you are blessed by us on this station, please let us know with an email to info@studywithfriends.org or a donation of any amount. It's really not the amount you give. No amount is too small. We just want to know that we are bearing fruit here on your station. You can give most easily at our website, studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We believe strongly in the local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday worship and a small group Bible study, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. Next week, we'll talk more about the book of Jonah. See you next time on Study with Friends.